He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is whack.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
Time for the legal.
And together, they are Stymie and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
Only Stoddy Evans sticking it to me.
Oh.
Like the Giants stuck it to the Cubs.
Hey, Giants are their best win of the year? Is that best win of the year?
I think a best win of the year, 8-1 or a shutout. We saw what they did in Pittsburgh and New York. Tell me if I'm hating.
No.
But the fact that you can't catch a pop-up, you're down 3, you do win it, but I can't ignore what we were going to be talking about or the scuttlebutt. So, luckiest win of the year?
Beggars can't be choosers.
Okay, well, there we go. Because you're one under. I got them making the playoffs. But, boy, Stoney, that was going to take a turn for the worse. And they earned that. They came back. Big hit by Estrada.
Well, I'll tell you this. If that's what you believe, and that's fine, then it sounds to me like, to you, the biggest win of the year was the win against the Dodgers after the Dodgers had won the first two games. And remember, in the second game of that series, they absolutely demolished the Giants. And we came in and was like, oh, my God. Yeah. They won that night. That was that could be considered a big win. And then one of the two against Philly, maybe, that they took.
And you know what, partner? I don't want to be.
Cubs stink.
Yeah, I don't want to be. They lead the league in blown saves. How many, Evan? 21? I think it was good. I mean, like.
16.
17. Oh, 16. Joe 16. Montana. But, I mean, damn. But anyway, the Giants won, Stoney. One game under 500. But, man, when is Lamont Wade Jr. coming back? Because he would have caught that pop-up, man.
Yeah.
Come on, Brooks.
This is what I found has been a theme for the Giants all years. Okay. Last night, that was one of those wins where in a baseball city or in a city, you talk about it. A lot happened.
Right.
Estrada hits the game-winning home run. Solaire's obviously coming around. Duvall is bouncing back from what happened on Sunday. It just doesn't feel like an exciting Giants win from the past. There's something holding people back, and I mean, I've got my ideas. I think. Here's the thing. Like you said this before the show. I think the Giants fans are kind of on to it. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, Guru said, they just know that, okay, the team's 500 is a great, like, Giants fans know this ain't it.
They know it. I think there's something to that. But it still can be it. But right now, Stoney, you lose 2 or 3 over the weekend to the lowly Angels at home. Like, I don't just flush that down the toilet, but I don't play. And I share with you guys my opinion. Maybe that has something to do with it. But I cannot sit here on this day after a great come from behind win. Stoney, I thought they were dead to rights. So, I mean, they come back and pull that game out. Man, I get it. Big win. But, I mean, you know, we could also talk about how you know, we're down 3.
No doubt. And we can debate the merits of what's better, a shutdown 5-1 game or a comeback. Obviously, when you come back in the ninth inning, it's exciting. But, you know, one of my favorite artists, Van Morrison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say he has a new album out, but he might have put it out 4 months ago, which means he's got 3 more albums since.
He puts
out an album every 3 weeks. No, but he has a song, What's It Gonna Take?
What's it gonna take?
Not really, but kind of like that.
I'm trying.
And that's kind of the way I feel about the Giants. Like, what's it going to take for this team to start to take
with the
fans?
How about health? Let me interest you in health.
I think they need more than that.
But if Snell comes back, Robbie Ray, Lamont Wade Jr., and then they get rolling, and right now they're tied. I know you're like, Guru, it doesn't end today, and you're right, but they're not 5 games out of the third wild card. They're tied for the third wild card with the Nationals, but you know, maybe some Giant fans want more. And maybe that'll come later. It'll be greater later. I don't know. But I just feel like, for me, that weekend against the Angels pissed me off. Like, I thought you guys were building something here, and to lose 2 of 3, I just, you know.
I mean, I'll say this, and we obviously got into this the other day about the third wild card and what it
is. Well, you and Willard.
Well, listen. and I think even Willard would agree with me right now. And that is, the third wild card in and of itself will not create excitement. That's what's not going to create excitement for the Giants or the Cubs or the Cardinals. It's going to be the team that plays the best baseball and the team that starts separating themselves from 500. Okay, here it is, 415. Couple things, 415. Oh, it's the same text. Yeah. All right. Feels pretty darn exciting. Steiny, don't speak for us Giants fans. We're excited. Okay, why? I don't see an excitement there that I've seen in the past with the Giants.
Well, all I
just
can,
don't.
Because, I disagree with you on what you said first with the excitement about the wild card. You know, I believe that's enough, you know, to get an invitation to the party, and it will take, obviously you got to win to get that, you know, earn it, Steiny. So when you say separate yourself from 500 or get over 500, I'm assuming that will come. But right now, again, I picked this team to make the playoffs, so I guess nothing's happening in front of my eyes to where I'm like, I feel so sure about that. But I can look at the Giants and say they're wounded. No excuses, but That weekend against the Angels bothered me. The Yankees is one thing, but the Angels, but that win last night, Steiny, I really thought they were. So Brooks drops the newly acquired Brooks, you know, getting his first shot, drops a routine fly ball you, Evan, I, and Spadoni could have caught. He drops it. So I'm thinking, okay, is that a big deal? Well, let me see how the inning plays out. And all hell broke loose. They're down 3. And I'm like, boy, they got bases loaded twice. They don't score. I'm like, boy. Melvin doesn't pinch hit for Brooks in a situation where it could have been Flores or even, what's the guy, Slater. All these second guesses, I guess, go down the drain because you pulled the game out. But I guess I'm at a spot now, partner, to where I'm like, it doesn't go away for me all the way. Yes, euphoria with the dub, but Steiny, I still got questions like, man, there are some holes on this team.
Let me go around the room.
Yeah.
I'm going to go around the room. Evan, you listening? I'm going around the room here. I'm going around the room here. If you had to describe right now on a scale of 1 to 10, the excitement level of Giants fans or the excitement level of the city about the San Francisco Giants on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it right now?
I'd say a 5.
Okay.
100.
That's a 4.
That Goo? Is a 4. I'm going to go 6.5.
Spadone?
Go a tepid 5.5.
Okay, and I was thinking 4-ish. Mm. 4-ish. So there's no surprise there. Guru's the most optimistic.
But that's 6.5. 6.5 is kind of low.
I agree. They're all low. They're all low.
But the attendance, again, if we got to base it on that. People are coming out to watch the team.
All right, let me throw this at you then, because I did a little research.
All right.
Last 4 years, Giants have made the postseason how many times?
Once.
Last 4 years.
Once. Huh.
San Diego Padres. They've made the playoffs how many times the last 4 years?
Number one.
I'm going to say 2.
1.
Okay.
Well, last 4 years, one time each.
All right.
Why do the Padres draw 22% more fans than the Giants?
Because they got big boys, and they've had some of the biggest
boys.
Well,
there we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, I won't fight you on that.
The
so
last
you
3 years,
that's some of it. The star quality or lack of.
I'm just saying, over the last 3 years, the Giants or the Padres have drawn 8.2 million, and the Giants have drawn 6.6 million. That's a big difference. Yeah. Like, why? They're both about this, I mean.
Well, if I could go see Soto, Tatis, and Machado all in one, and Snell.
Right, but they're no better than the Giants,
right,
in a way. You know what I mean?
Right.
All I'm saying is, if you go by the record, they're the same team. Yes, and I'm not disagreeing with you. So it's star power, period.
No doubt.
Okay, so if the Giants had 3 stars and were underachieving like the Padres.
People would be hot, mad as hell.
Well, I don't care if they'd be mad. Would they be going out to the stadium?
I would. Because you think it could change every day. And that's how I'm looking at this Giant team with what they have. I just can't ignore Lamont Wade Jr. is on fire, and he's out. But I got to say, Ramos, Steiny, I don't want to – I'm not going to say he's a star. But he's – like – he's must-watch TV right
well,
now.
See, that's the thing.
And for I'm, now.
I'm going to play a little devil's advocate.
He is. I mean,
no, he's not. I mean, he's a, he's. What's he hitting? 325?
Yeah.
What's he got, eight homers? He is by far their best prospect of this crop. Forget Webb okay. and Harrison. Yeah. Like, all we've been doing is saying, they need a guy that we can get behind, a farm system guy. And you know, I'm just saying this. I'm looking at Ramos. I'm like, this guy's go off to a hell of a start, and it doesn't feel like he's enough.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't feel like Ramos is even enough. Mm. And that's what I'm that's what I'm curious about. Like, what's it going to take for the Giants fans to believe in this team like I've seen them believe in teams in the past? Wow. Over the course of my 35 years in the Bay Area.
I'm going to steal from Evan because it's really eating at me.
Yeah.
Steiny wins. W's, they got to stack wins. So if they, you know, if we're talking about them in a week and they're five over or six over, then you feel like, you know, Buffalo Springfield, something's happening here.
Well, I do think that's part of it. I think if you look at the big picture, and if you want to jump into the conversation, you know the number, 888-957-9570. My question's, what's it going to take? What is it going to take for you to get interested in this Giants team? They might have had their... If it wasn't their biggest win of the year last night, it was their most exciting.
Well, they've had one a few of these. Yeah, exactly. Pittsburgh and New York. This well, ain't new. They've had a few of these.
Well, that's the other thing.
But then that
why isn't
away.
Why isn't that working for them? You ready for this stat? You ready for this stat? This is incredible. Since May 22nd. Hey, Evan. I do want you to hear the stat.
I got that.
This is because this feeds into me asking why. The Giants, since May 22nd, have five wins in which they were trailing in the eighth inning or later by multiple runs.
Yeah.
During that time frame, only one other team has as many as two, the Kansas City Royals. So in the last month, the Giants have clearly been as exciting in terms of the way the games have played out as any team in baseball, with their comebacks, and I got to assume it obviously included the Pittsburgh and the Mets series.
Oh, man.
But, what? Like, there it is. This team's come from behind five times in the last month. It doesn't seem to have resonated. Or is that an overstatement? I'm just asking questions here at 888.
What are you looking for? That's where we got to start, Steiny, because I'm not saying you're being overly critical.
No, I'm not.
You shared with us, and I understand it's your prerogative how you feel about the third wild card, but we got to talk about this team right now.
Okay.
As if it ended today,
okay, then why isn't there interest then? If the series.
Now, what are you using to judge that is all I'm asking.
You know what I'm saying? This is the eye test and the smell test. That's what I'm using. I know when this city is in love with a team. Mm. I know it. I've been here 35 years. You know it. Evan knows it. Like, you know what excitement feels like daily if there is excitement. And I'll just use the argument that you posed. If I'm wrong, like if the wild card is a bit, then it almost backs up my point even more that, this would be the season end today, it's a playoff team, and I don't get the sense fans are still interested, even though baseball's the one sport where we do know.
Yeah, but
if you get in, you can make something happen. Evan?
Yeah.
Looked like he was ready to jump in. Sorry, Goo.
To Guru's point, though, the attendance is significantly better. So I do think that there's building interest, but it's obviously not to the point of off of three World Series titles. Like, you're right, that's electric, that is captivating. But I think the issue is that they've been in relative mediocrity for the better part of 5 years, and so people are wondering if this is real. Like, is this real, what they've been doing in late games? And I guess it's hard for people to just forget.
And on top of that, Evan, I agree. Steiny, I know I'm not sitting here telling you the new Barry Bonds is Elia Ramos, but I mean, my gosh, just from the way he's playing baseball and has been playing baseball, and yeah, they lost two or three to the Angels. Right now, he's electric. Like, I'm watching the Giants just like I would if they were stale and boring, but I'm like, are we watching a Kuminga turn the corner? And I get all the people and everybody's saying it's too early, but right now, what's not to like? And this may not
what's
be
not to like.
Is.
They're two games under 500. Wow. Like, I'm going to argue, not argue, but I get why people might be excited or might not be excited. But, I mean, I guess I'm contradicting myself because maybe there's just never going to be excitement over a team that's 500. But 500 kind of gets
it done. What 500 team has ever been exciting?
Like, you win as much as you lose, you know? And I think, like, over the weekend at home, place was packed.
Okay, so
you lose two or three
first
to the worst team
first
in baseball.
First of all, let's put the rat on the table.
Okay.
One of the big reasons, it was Father's Day weekend. That's typically a monster weekend. And I'm not saying the attendance is down. I'm just saying...
You don't feel it.
I don't feel it. But, no, here's what I'm saying. I don't feel it. It's not that I don't feel it. I don't feel it from the fans. But then I'm thinking, well, what do you expect, Steiny? You're in the Bay. You've been here 35 years. They're two games under 500.
One game
under 500, and they don't have any stars, and they don't have as many big boys as other teams. Okay. All that's true. So what's it going to take then for there to be excitement? Because I don't believe if the Giants – this is what I mean about the wild card. If the Giants play another month of 500 baseball and they're a game and a half out of the third spot, I don't think they garner more interest because the wild card is out there, but I don't want to get into that conversation as much as...
It's so hard not to, but yeah.
As much as... Evan just said it. What 500 team is exciting?
Right.
So 500 may get you to the playoffs, but... You need more than that here.
And I guess I'm going to give a nugget to Giant fans, Steiny, to say, with that being said, and let's just say you're right, if you look at the Giants' attendance, it's doing well for a 500 team. So the fans are doing their part in regard to not just showing up, they're waiting, and they may be seeing something manifest when guys get healthy. But – you know, my thing is, I was really just from a fan standpoint and a baseball lover, that Yankee series let me know what the Giants aren't. And right now, they're not a team with a bunch of boppers and big name stars.
And they're not going to be for the rest of this year at least.
But I got to tell you, I am fixated on one player right now for the Giants that's come up and taken the bull by the horns and hit a home run last night and is doing everything that he possibly can. I don't know if he's got to return to glass slippers, but we can't not give Elliot Ramos his due because he's electric right now.
Okay.
So you think when Wade comes back?
Okay, I'll ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'll ask all you guys a question. So I'm wrong. There's excitement about this team, and I'm not seeing it. Well, that's fair. So there's excitement about this team, but I'm not seeing it
or feeling it.
Because
the numbers again, when we go to how many people are showing up, people are coming to the restaurant.
Okay, so I'm wrong.
I would say that you are.
I'm wrong. Okay,
like. There's no parade for a 500 team during the season, Steiny.
I know that.
And I feel like with your convictions, because they're yours, you saw a parade nobody showed up to that the Giants threw, and that's not happened yet.
Let me ask you this. All right. If we could go to St. Louis and Chicago and all the other nine teams that are in the so-called race, do you believe that there's more excitement in San Francisco than there is right now for the New York Mets? I get it, it's
better,
the Mets.
Yeah, but they're playing better people, yeah.
Well, yeah. What about the St. Louis Cardinals?
I would say equal. And you look at last night, Wrigley Field was packed. It's Wrigley. The Cup, it was packed. So
what are you saying?
I'd say it's equal.
It doesn't feel equal. That's all.
I think there's an equal level of excitement, but there might be more
pessimism?
Frustration with other franchises because of the star power. Like, when I think of the Mets, I think of underachievers because of how much money they invest. I think there's a lot of people that, when you watch the Giants and they don't perform well, maybe it's because of the level of talent, maybe it's because of the names, but there's kind of just a resignment of, well, you know, they're probably not that good anyways. Whereas, like, with other teams, I don't know, particularly the Cubs, but, like, the Cardinals. Cardinals have a lot of big names, and they've been really bad up until recently. They started to surge. So now there's more excitement, I think, in St. Louis because people expect them to play at this level.
Right.
I don't know, like, what level of baseball do fans expect the Giants to play at?
And maybe what I'm asking is, what's it going to take? And you know what it's going to take, Ian Guru?
Yeah.
Maybe about a 9-10 game winning streak.
Or some more offense, because that's what I'm not seeing from the Giants. And last night they showed it late, but, you know, bases loaded, and it kind of happens. Over the weekend against the Angels, I know they came back late, but it wasn't good enough Saturday night. But it's like, you know, that gets frustrating to watch a team have opportunity with the bat. Soler, all of a sudden, Stani taking walks, getting hits. My 30 home run bet still hemorrhaging, but it looks like the light's starting to come on. I think if they could just start hitting the cover off the ball a little more. Now, some will say, did you watch the game last night, Goo? They scored umpteen runs. But, yeah, that was late, and they did. But that's not what the Giants are known for. And they spent some money on this collective group of players. So let's not act like they're the welfare version of MLB. Farhan spent. And, again, they're having bad luck, too, starting with the injuries.
I mean,
excuses.
No, I'm saying if I'm wrong, and there are a lot of people out there excited about this team. I mean, you know the number. It's 888-957-9570. What are you excited about with this team? And I'm not sitting here saying you shouldn't be excited. It's the other way around. If you're going to tell me that the third wild card creates some interest, and you're going to tell me and we all know in baseball, if you get into the playoffs, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's it going to take? What are we waiting for to, because I what if they don't win 7 in a row or 9 of 10?
But I'm looking at health before the wins. Okay. So obviously you want to win.
But what if this is their team? Okay, but
then I think it would be disappointing.
So who's getting healthy where other than Wade and I
Robbie Ray coming back, Lamont Wade Jr.
Okay.
You know, the way that this team is constructed, I'm not saying Lamont Wade Jr. is Rod Carew, Stani, but he was playing his ass off. And the Giants can use all the offense that they can. You got a guy at first base last night that couldn't catch a fly ball. And normally, in that situation, when you're down 6-3 in the eighth, it's pretty much a wrap. They came back. And they've been doing that. That's been a staple of them this year. I mean, we're talking about not just comebacks. Houdini-like comeback.
Yeah,
but you don't want to hang your hat on being down 3 or 4 runs.
Yeah.
And when I look
feel
at that
buzz.
Third wild card,
I don't feel a buzz about
the Pirates,
this team.
And there's 8 teams going for that third wild card, so it ain't going to be easy is what I'm saying.
I know, but I don't feel a buzz.
Hmm.
I don't feel a buzz about this team, and I get it. You know what? Maybe the answer is, dude, you've been here 35 years. You know how the Bay Area is. You got to prove it first, and this team hasn't proved it. Once they start to prove it, people will get on board and they'll get excited, and then we'll go from there. But
they need some stars, though. I admit that.
But okay,
I do.
What about for the rest of this year? They're not assuming they're. I mean,
they got to be the best version of themselves and do it.
And I'm starting to think that might not be enough. 888-957-9570 is the number. 11 o'clock. That's in a half hour. Fun interview. You don't even. You don't even know this. But
yeah,
it's time to tip our hat to one of the greats in the Bay Area.
Go ahead, baby.
And his name is Bob Fitzgerald.
What is going on here?
Who will be calling his 6th Olympics for NBC Universal this year.
Wow, man.
And
congrats.
I'm going to run down all of his accolades, and it'll be nice because when he comes on, he'll be able to tell me what I was wrong about and what I left out. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll be right back.
Against Wisniewski, and Ramos drives that one to deep right field. And just like that, this game is tied. Elliot Ramos does it again. into the bleachers. It's 2-2.
That is, it takes an elite talent.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Dave Fleming, Hunter Pence, NBC Sports Bay Area. Ramos.
He's on a bender.
Yeah, that was a nice home run, but I like the one from Estrada better.
The one from Bailey did hit the scoreboard.
One of the things
Bailey.
That, I mean, I don't.
Get them push-ups in, man.
Closed door meetings need to stay behind closed doors, but Estrada got the word from my fantasy manager that he needed a big week. Otherwise, we were going with Nick Lowe, second baseman from the Tampa Bay Rays. It's not Nick Lowe. He's a singer. I did that on purpose.
I don't know if Evan's giving you the bucket.
Nick Lowe. Hey, by the way, did you see the news?
Celtics won the chip.
No. The Clippers hired Van Gundy as head coach. Jeff Van Gundy, new head coach of the Clippers. Yeah. What?
They have a head coach.
Who?
Tyronn Lue.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's the coach. He'll be the coach for three more months. You don't think that Jeff Van Gundy's going to be the head coach of the Clippers this year?
Lue just got a new deal.
He's not.
Yeah, but he just got a new deal.
Okay. Yeah.
The ink hasn't even dried. Lue,
no, Tyronn Lue's ecstatic about that hire.
What's the word? Like Jerry West, when you hire him.
Were you born yesterday, you guys?
Oh, my God, stop.
I mean,
see, I'm falling for your trolling.
Why did you hire Jeff Van Gundy as an assistant?
Ask our guy.
Spadone?
Ask the Celtics. They just won with him as a consultant.
Now, this is different. He's going to be right next to Tyronn Lue.
That was a hell of a pull.
Hey, Tyronn. You got to get Kawhi out of there.
Please.
He stinks.
He's not worried about him.
Steve Kerr's had a lot of associate head coaches.
And they've all tried to stick it to him at one time or the other. He's been lucky to survive. But have you noticed? They've all fled. Even Atkinson's looking to fly the coop.
I got to tell you.
We got a problem in Golden State.
Oh, stop it, Steiner.
J.J. Redick, new head coach of the Lakers, though. Is that correct? Is that confirmed? Oh, Spadone with a thumbs up. Spadone with a thumbs up to confirm it. Now I need what he thinks of the action. He's got thumbs down for the actual
hire. Oh, Spadone's out on him.
Who the hell would Spadone be in on?
I'm out.
Spadone's
he was in on a Connecticut guy.
Spadone's like the Mikey in the old Wheaties commercials.
One of the greatest, by the way.
He won't eat it. He hates everything.
I owe Joe Mazzulla an apology.
No, you don't.
Watching him interact. He goes, you're going to make one? Because Jason Tatum said, I'm going to shoot a three. He's like, you're going to make him? Because he was off. I'm like, oh, that's his connection with the players. That was great. Evan, I'm telling you, I heard what I heard, but it was like he was just talking. That's how you do it, man. So shout out Joe, man.
Hit me again, Spadone.
Well, okay. If you're Udoka, how are you feeling,
I just threw this out in the thread, too. Okay, Mazzulla, he's now a one-time champion as a coach. Where does he rank?
Nobody has to judge right now.
Oh, what? Yeah, I'm asking you to.
Same as Tyronn Lue. He's got one.
He's an Italian.
What about, is he better than Don Nelson? Mazzulla?
Steiny, the bling is, it carries a lot of weight, but.
So Mazzulla now has leapfrogged Don Nelson in terms of.
He has the inside track.
Yeah. Coaching ability.
Yeah, his career's not over.
No, I know.
He's got a great chance to go repeat, too, you think?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I'm not fighting you on Nelly. I like Nelly. He just didn't win one.
About Lenny Wilkins?
Oh.
Nah. What about George Karl? Is Mazzulla a better coach than George Karl? He of 1,000 wins.
Yeah. Depends on if you ask Carmelo Anthony.
Boy. Well, you know what?
Or Andre Iguodala.
That's a badge of honor for George Karl.
Coach.
Mm-hmm. What if I told you that I think there's a Bay Area athlete that got kind of a bad rap the last 2 days, and it's Camilla Duvall.
Oh, talk to me. Bad rap.
Yeah.
What's the rap?
Well, so he was asked to pitch in a blowout on Sunday, gave up 4 runs, and then threw the water cooler.
Yeah.
He was hot, threw his hot. And so yesterday, Mike Kruko, NBC Sports Bay Area, was talking about Duvall, and he said he's a pouty three-year-old. He acted like a pouty three-year-old.
That's heavy. Wow.
I know. It is. And that's from the you know, flagship NBC Sports Bay Area.
The man.
So I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, well, not so fast. Do we know if Bob Melvin, because I think it's important, do we know if Melvin told Duvall before the game, hey, look, you haven't pitched since Wednesday. I'm probably going to get you in there at some point regardless.
My question to that, my answer to that question would be, does he have?
Yes.
Does he have to?
I think he does, yeah.
Well, then that's why you feel
that's right.
The way you feel.
That's right.
Because if my boss or manager tells me, you know, you're going in, I got to go in and get outs.
No doubt. But let me ask you this. If I thought we loved when guys had roles and they knew their roles and they knew what to expect and when to go in.
Oh, no doubt.
Okay.
But he hadn't pitched for days, so the rust factor was there.
Well, now he can't pitch tomorrow. Can't pitch today now.
Well,
just yeah, FYI.
You got Webb on the mound, but I hear you.
So, if Bob Melvin went up to Duvall and said before the game, hey, look, you haven't pitched since Wednesday. I'm going to try to create a spot for you. And by the way, like, if we're up 10 or down 10, do you care? And if he says, don't put me in if we're up 10 or down 10. I only would be in a save situation. Well, then at that point, Melvin goes, well, might not be a save. I got to get your work. I don't know.
Because that was happening with Melvin in San Diego with Hader. He was not taking the ball. And Melvin was getting testy a while back. And I'm like, damn, a reliever is telling the manager he doesn't want to come in a certain situation. But, Steiny, you got to come in and get outs. And it was a badge of honor that the manager is knowing your workload and you hadn't really had one. So it's a blowout. Come in. But you said you read something, a quote from Camilo, to where he's such a specialist coming into high leverage situations, delights and everything that comes on, that might have messed him up mentally. But I'm not feeling sorry for him. I'm not saying you are, but I thought Melvin did him a solid to get him some work.
I'm not feeling sorry for Duvall at all. But I'm also not saying, oh, this guy, what a problem, this and that. Here's the thing. Okay. You know, Duvall speaks through an interpreter, but there's no doubt that he didn't want to pitch in this game. This is obviously through an interpreter. Duvall said, I'm a little bit different. I have my routine. I'm the type of guy that drives with the adrenaline, right? So the LED light show in the ninth inning to close games, that is what I've earned. That's what I want to do. So when I come in a blowout, there's just no adrenaline to drive me. However, the hitters are patient because they are losing, so they're going to wait and wait and wait, and then poor results are what happens. Whereas when I come in with the game on the line, I'm competing and they're competing, so they're going to chase bad pitches.
Mm. Now,
the end of it's kind of interesting, but forget, like, what about when I come in to a blowout situation, there's no adrenaline to drive me.
That's heavy.
That statement right then and there.
So do we say Melvin dropped the ball because he didn't communicate to Duvall that he was going to pitch? But everything you just said, wow, like, okay, that's how you get down. That's how you get comfortable. Obviously, they didn't have a conversation. Because if they did, Steiny, he would have told Melvin that. And if I were Melvin, I wouldn't have gave him the ball. If it meant that much to you to where, you know, hitters laying off. And that's what the Angels were doing because they got nothing to lose.
Right.
So,
exactly. So
bad communication by the manager, you think?
I don't know that because, to me, I don't know if Melvin, he talked to him before or not. And here's the other thing, 925. You think I don't know that Duvall didn't look good doing it? I'm just telling you that.
Yeah,
I've been watching baseball since 1975, and it is a sensitive issue with every closer on every team. That do you want to use him in a non-save situation? Yeah.
But we've seen it in the 925. I'm with him, Steiny. I can't say the word. That's a BS excuse. Bro, your job. But
it's not an excuse. It's who he is. Yeah. So if that's who he is, what do you want to do?
You think it ever happen again? If that same situation is facing them, I wonder if Melvin hears that. I'm sure he did. And takes that into account and says, you know what? I won't call your number.
Well, or it might be all good because He did. He told Duvall, get out there and pitch on Sunday. Duvall was terrible. Everybody called him pouty. He gets criticized. Oh, but it's baseball, so he got a chance the next day, and he comes through.
Yeah, he did.
And now we move on to Tuesday, and it's no harm, no foul. I wouldn't have used the closer in a 10-run game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have. And, okay, well, now he's getting another. Okay, what's one more day of not throwing? I don't know.
Yeah. This is my core astounding. You could even forget Duvall's name just for this conversation. I mean, pitcher A comes in, and I know it's not your ideal scenario, but your job is to get outs. And I look at the score being an advantage for Duvall to be like, well, your ERA. On. You know what I'm saying?
No.
We're up 100. No. Let me just get these guys out.
Okay. I mean, I get baseball's different, but it's like.
But you and Willard with the ERA taking a hike, I'm sure that
would piss me off.
And I think that maybe he took that out on the cooler.
Exactly. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, what's the difference? And you can tell me. I'm not saying I'm right or I'm making a great analogy. Warriors lead 120 to 81 against the Memphis Grizzlies, the bad Memphis Grizzlies. Kurt, let's get Curry some work. You know, he's been out for two or three games, and he's got that right ankle. They thought about using him tonight. But guess what? Since the Warriors are winning by 40, let's put Steph Curry in because, well, he needs to get a little work. And, wow, what a great time to use him. Nothing's at stake.
Yeah.
Well, use somebody lower profile than Curry.
No, I'm just saying.
The guy... What are great coaches? Great coaches and managers. They put their players in a position to succeed.
I got something for you.
They define roles for them. Players love when they know what to expect.
That's real talk. Well, I'm going to say this. If Kruko, the great Mike Kruko, went that far to say that there was a pouty three-year-old, what I told you, Willard and Dibbs, a couple weeks ago, that last Yankee game Sunday when it got all bad, you were out of town, and I sent the video, and I watched Chapman watch Duvall come off the mound, and Duvall didn't even know he was looking at him. And, Steiny, there was a look of, not you didn't have your best up, this just me now, it was like, we're tired of your act, and maybe Kruko knows more than we do, and that's why he had that energy and venom on that, you know, three-year-old and whatnot, because I watch Duvall, Steiny, and I feel like there's not a lot of conversation. I know he uses an interpreter, and I don't know if one's in the dugout.
English well. I mean,
yeah, so it seems like he's on an island, you know, and but his mannerisms are
the benefit of the doubt there.
It ain't Joe Cool, but there's something to where I can see an old school guy like, and I'll use Chapman in this.
I was just going to bring
instance,
that up.
Like, I'm not, whatever you're doing, that ain't cool. And Duvall may not even know he's doing it.
And
for Kruko to say that.
I was going to bring that up. I was absolutely going to bring that point up. And it's this, you know, I'm Kruko's age about.
Yeah.
I think everybody would say, Steiny's old school. Old man yells at cloud. I'm like, but times have changed. Duvall's 23 years old. Bob Melvin, you're 60. It's like, you can't, like, I'm sorry. Maybe you do have to explain to the kid that you may have to use him in a spot where he doesn't want to be used.
I'm not mad. Yeah.
And if you do that and he falters, at least at that point, Melvin can say, kid, what do you want me to do? I mean, I got to have you pitch. We're running out of arms. I know you hate this situation, but I'm asking you to do it. Like, maybe some players gotta have that.
There's no such thing as over-communication. So you might be right, Steiny.
Yeah, you know what?
Is there...
I think Gabe Kapler's an over-communicator. Like, could you imagine... How about this?
Infinite outcome.
Exactly. How about this? Can you imagine Buster Posey sitting in the clubhouse before a game, getting ready, and Gabe Kapler comes over and goes, hey, Buster, you got a minute? I want to talk about... We've noticed a couple things with your swing. We'd like to go over some things with you. Can you come to the film room and we're going to break down some of your at-bats from the last three series?
I'm pitching them right now, yeah, Gabe.
I mean, Buster Posey would be like...
I'll be right down.
No. When do you want me to do that, Skip? I'm supposed to be meeting with today's starter. You know what I'm
saying. I just think you got it wrong, Steiny. I, like, I feel
it's
like
a new day.
No, not with Doval. I think Melvin missed that boat, but I'm also on the other side of the boat saying, damn, do I need to nurture you like that? Do I gotta breastfeed you like that? Like, oh boy. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man, go get the ball and go get three outs and let's get out of here.
Let's take it further from the 310 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Steiny, if Steph Curry got hurt in your scenario, Steve Kerr would be the worst coach ever.
And no doubt about
it. What happened again then, Steiny?
Well, what if Duvall threw his arm out? Against a 13-2 game.
No, you're right. There's a price that comes with it. He would catch hell. Or would some step back and say it's baseball? It doesn't matter what this is. No, fans always go to, well, could it have been avoided? You know, what was the situation? Melvin would have caught hella heat, Steiny, had he got hurt. You're right. But that was a risk he was willing to take.
You know what? There's two kinds of people, two kinds of athletes,
good and bad ones.
One kind that they want the pressure and they want a close game. And then there's another kind who say, we're up 10. Let me alone. We're up 10. Let me alone. You know, it's no different than who's the guy
the
you guys have always talked
about. No, is incredible.
No, no, here's what it's about. It's kind of the same thing as the guy who hits 40 homers, 28 of them are solo. And you just know that, like, oh, when the stakes are low.
Wow.
They're pretty good, but you know, in a tight game,
wow,
they're probably not going to come through. If we talk about players like that, why can't we talk about a player like Duvall and say, don't put him into a 10-run game?
Yeah. But he hasn't been on his, he hasn't had his best stuff in high leverage situations, Donnie. So I do wonder how much of that was eaten at him. But for Kruko to say what he said leads me to believe, I think I'm correct in saying maybe some guys in the clubhouse, his style is rubbing them the wrong way.
I don't know that.
Okay.
And I, like, honestly, that's
because I feel like I saw that. I sent it to Willard and Dibbs. They were on air, my guys, and they were like, yeah, I didn't kind of. But you had to see it on the big screen.
I'm going to be honest. Like, there's something about him being a Latin player and not speaking English as his first language that I'm really would. Not you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go there.
I get what you're saying. But Kruko did in regard to his tantrum.
He called him a pouty. Yeah, he called him a pouty three.
But how many times do we see Roger Clemens or, let's just say, Blake Snell last year when he's just electric do that and they get, oh, wow, he's a gamer. He's really upset. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes that's a badge of honor. All depending on who's doing the game. But Kruko must know something to where he let that out. That tells me.
Well, that's a good point. That you're right. Yes, that's fair.
Like, and this I actually first, didn't even yeah, right.
If,
something is, yeah.
You're right. If Kruko's saying it, maybe there's something more to it. Goo, I may date myself. In fact, I'm going to.
You look good.
Remember the old sitcom? What are the original sitcoms? Happy Days?
Arthur Fonzarelli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a character in that show.
Potsy.
Ralph Mouth. And Ralph Mouth was on the basketball team with Richie Cunningham and Potsy, etc. But Ralph Mouth never played. He just didn't play a lot. And so one game, Ralph Mouth went to the game, sat on the bench with his warm-ups on, but underneath his warm-ups, he had his regular clothes. He had a button-down shirt and slacks.
Right.
And Ralph Mouth is sitting there, and it's a close game, and Ralph Mouth is thinking everything's fine.
Right.
And the next thing you know, the coach goes, Ralph, get in there. He didn't expect to play. The coach didn't say, hey, Ralph, I may use you in a tight game. No. Ralph Mouth went into that game thinking, if this thing's tight, I'm not playing.
That is incredible.
Just like Camilo Duvall. I'm surprised. I mean, do we know that when Melvin said Camilo, like, he didn't have to run in and take off his button-down shirt and put his uniform on? Come on.
That reminds me of my Chris Washburn story.
Oh, which one?
On the Warriors, rookie year, didn't have the jersey under the warm-up. And young coach, we were right there, me and Ron Tillman, my friend from the union. Steiny, I saw this. Told him to go in the game. He didn't have the jersey under the warm-up. Hmm. And then you saw his career ended. The town got him. The Bay.
I know a couple guys who forgot sneakers to a game.
Well, then that's a forget. This is just, you no, really I, thought you weren't going Ralph Mouth. I don't think I saw that episode.
5-1-0, let's have some fun. Hey, Guru from these, the look you saw in Chapman's eyes, was that the same look Wiggins had?
No, long as Evan don't laugh. But,
well, dude, he's not listening.
No,
he's doing
I saw, I'm telling you, Chapman was giving him a stare of like, it's not you didn't have your bad stuff, kid. It was just like, whatever actor, whatever you're doing, or you're too cool for school, maybe.
Maybe.
And I like seeing him mad, but now you and Willard and Dibbs got me thinking he was mad because his ERA went up. And it was like, dude.
Well, that was part of it, too, I'm sure.
But can we deem that a little selfish?
Yes. Yes, but closers are like wide receivers. They're kind of diva-ish. I mean, look, let me ask you this, Goo, you're averaging 15 a game.
Yeah.
You're averaging you're averaging 15 a game, and then one game the coach says, Goo, you're not playing tonight. Okay. And then with 3 minutes left in the game, he goes, Goo, you know what? I need to get you a little run.
Yeah.
You know what? You're going to be pissed because no matter what, your average is going to go from 15 to 14.1.
But that's the guy you hate.
I
would like that's but too no, much calculus. That's too much
are you
math.
Kidding?
If the coach,
it's not the guy
with,
I hate. It's the guy like who I think
about
of.
The wrong thing though. You're talking.
But,
we always talked about
like
the basketball
that.
Player I saw last night that won't take the heave at the end of a
exactly.
quarter in an NBA game. So
right.
it won't go down as a shot on the ledger.
What I'm saying is, any player, regardless of your role, let's say you're a starting basketball player. And you don't play,
that
and now you're in a blowout with 3 minutes to go. The coach says, "Go ahead in there." Like the I get it. The first thing that doesn't come to your mind is, "Well, I'm not going to get my 15 a game." Right. But I'm sorry, this is professional sports. That's how we get paid.
Yeah.
That's what we use as evidence. Again, I'm not saying, "Oh, DeVal is in the right," but what I'm saying is, I need to know more about it.
Yeah.
I need to know. You know, to me, it's an indication of what kind of communicator Bob Melvin is.
Yeah. Pete just sent me a text. So I texted him back.
Was I wrong?
No.
He says I'm wrong?
What Kruko said.
What'd he say?
No, he asked me what he said, and I told him your quote.
Tell F. Oh, okay.
Who was in the booth
Wait, so
Sunday? He did a great job.
So you're texting FP?
He sent me a text. He's our teammate.
Right, but you got back to him during the show. That's like.
Snitches get stitches. I mean, dude.
You snitch, not me.
You're doing too much math.
Well, I'm just saying, I could. If you get a text in the car and you're driving, do you text back?
Well, how about this? I haven't responded yet.
Oh, I thought you said you did.
Well, before I thought you were going public.
It sounds like you did.
Yes. Hello, I did. Yeah.
Hey, coming up on the other side, we've got the play-by-play man for this summer's Olympic men's basketball, Bob Fitzgerald. You know him also as the play-by-play man for the Golden State Warriors, but Fitz is a multi-time Emmy winner, and he will be working his sixth Olympics. Bob Fitzgerald joining us on the other side. What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment was also sponsored by Safeway.